السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. لم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد. وقال الله تعالى في مقام أخرى: إن سعيكم لشتى. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble brothers, sisters and elders, last week we made mention of the significance of certain events that take place during the lunar calendar. And then we made mention of the connection, a recollection of what we spoke about so we can further establish our argument that the first month of the lunar calendar gives us the lesson of sacrifice. And the last month of the lunar calendar gives us the lesson of sacrifice. The middle month is the month of Rajab. And the month of Rajab gives us an understanding of how high a person can fly. So basically, if we were to connect the first month with the last month, and then try to extract the benefit, we will realize that if we make sacrifice in life for the right reasons, Allah Almighty will allow us to fly high. And another way of expressing flying high is success. Allah will allow us to attain success. So basically, the end of what we discussed last week was that in proportion to our effort, Allah Almighty will allow us to attain success. And the month of Ramadan that is arriving in a few weeks demands that we make extra effort. And basically, if we were to study life and how it is passing away, and our block of life is melting each day, this in itself indicates and demands a strong effort from us. Because each day that is passing does not return. If you study the prolific life of the Prophet of Allah and the lives of the Sahaba and the predecessors, the awliya, the rabbaniyin, and many people in our time, we will realize that they have 24 hours. There's no extra hour for any person from the time Allah created this dunya. So when a person arrives, he has 24 hours in a day. It does not decrease for anyone from 24 to 23. And it doesn't increase for anyone from 24 to 25. It is always 24 hours. And since the arrival of our Nabi of Allah, the lifespan basically floats around at 60. Indeed, in Australia, we live longer. So people in Australia, 80 to 90, we can go to the cemetery and we find that people, they die at the age of 80 or 90. But overall, we will find that a person, he lives between 60 or 70. Or let me say quality life between 60 or 70. From 70 onwards, most probably a person is making i'tikaf in the hospital. He's always visiting the hospital. And what he used to do, he has to give up. So quality life is up to 60, 70, no more than that. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam at the age of 28. He accepted Islam at the age of 28. And he passed away at the age of 61, 62, more or less. So in 31, 32 years, this person left a legacy behind that will echo till the day of judgment. 30 years. I am 45 years of age. I have lived more than that. Most probably, most people that are here have hit the 50. So Hazrat Umar only had 24 hours, no more, no less. And in 30 years, he did so much that his name will be a bright star, a beacon of light for humanity. The Nabi of Allah only had 23 years, from the age of 40 to 63. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq accepted at the age of 38. He was 2 years younger than the Nabi of Allah, two and a half years, 38, 37. He passed away at the age of 63. In 26, 27 years, he did so much. The point that I'm trying to relate is that this time that we have is very, very valuable. And we need to adorn this time with the effort that is approved by Allah and the Rasul, the right effort. And each person has the potential, the ability. Think about it, our forefathers in this country, they established this masjid. They left a very strong foundation. May it be the Deen family, may it be the Rain family, may it be the Ghos family. The people that came early on. I met Haji Rain Saab in this masjid long time ago. They did something. And we mention their name till today. And their name will be mentioned in the future as well. They have left a brick of Islam in this country. And whatever we do, we are building upon that brick. So we need to continue that effort. We need to place our brick in that construction. So our name is mentioned as well. If not in this dunya, at least in the hereafter. But we need to do something. Now, I believe that the time will not allow me to make mention of the entire story that I want to relate. But it may take 2 weeks. So if you are here today, you need to be here next Friday as well. Or you will not benefit properly. You will not benefit completely. Now the greatest miracle that our Prophet received is the Quran. We're talking about effort. Our title is effort, topic. Effort. The greatest miracle is the Quran. And there are many, many miracles in the life of the Nabi of Allah. One of the greatest miracles, excluding the receiving of the Quran, is the Mi'raj. That is a great miracle. Abu Jahl thought in his mind that if I relate this story to Abu Bakr Siddiq, who has not touched base with the Nabi of Allah in relation to this story, if I relate the story to him, I believe with certainty that he will denounce Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thought it was a golden opportunity to derail Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And he was very, very confident that I can pull this person out of the fold of Islam. And he goes to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq has not spoken to the Nabi of Allah yet. The Nabi of Allah has not revealed the intricacies of this journey and the miracle of this journey. And Abu Jahl goes to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and he says that if a person was to say that he traveled from Masjid al-Haram to Baytul Maqdis and then beyond, would you accept? He said, no, I would not accept. So, pehle usko pakka kiya. Urdu mein kehte usko pehle pakka kiya. So, first of all, you make somebody, you present an argument in a way that you get him on your side. And this is a manner in which debaters debate. They get the person on their side. And then they present their argument. So, Abu Bakr Siddiq said that that's not a possibility. He said, then, maslaha lo gaya. He said, then everything is conclusive. Your friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that he has traveled. Now immediately Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq flips. He said, if he has said that he has traveled from Masjid al-Haram to Baytul Muqaddas and beyond, then I accept it. Without any doubt, this is not dubious, without any doubt I will accept it. Because of the firm belief that Abu Bakr Siddiq had in the word of the Nabi of Allah, from that time onwards, till today, until the day of judgment, and even in the life to come, he received the title Siddiq. He remains as Kadhab Abu Jahl, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq becomes Siddiq. So this story allowed many to rise with the Nabi of Allah. As we all know that the four categories that basically will enter paradise are Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada and Salihin, that have been made mention in Surah Nisa. And Siddiqeen follow the Anbiya, then it is the Shuhada, then it is the Salihin. So the ulama have understood that this order basically gives us an indication that after Nubuwwah, the highest status that a person can receive is Siddiqeen, Siddiq, truthfulness in all affairs, in all actions, in all deeds, in all utterances, so on and so forth. And then after that it is Shahada, martyrdom. And then after that it is Wilaya, the friendship of Allah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the Nabi of Allah travelled high, but the Sahaba travelled with him. They were elevated on that night as well. So Hazrat Abu Bakr was Hazrat Abu Bakr. But from that night onwards he became Siddiq. And that becomes his name. And many people, when you speak to them and you say, Siddiq said this, automatically the first name, the personality that comes to mind is Hazrat Abu Bakr. So this night was a night that allowed one person to travel beyond certain stations. But at the same time, those that had affiliation with him and that were struggling with him in the effort, they rised with him. They experienced a height that they never experienced before. So it is very important to understand that we need to make this effort. The month of Ramadan that comes, it allows us to realize the potential that we have. It allows us to realize. I ask you and I ask myself, that how many things do we sacrifice in the month of Ramadan? Last night was the night of Bara'ah, Shab-e-Barat. So many people stood up individually and they made ibadat. Many people that did not make tahajjud in the previous nights, they woke up last night. So if we can do it last night, why couldn't we do it before that night? Basically we have the ability. These special nights and special days and special months that do come our way basically are a wake-up call that you can do this. Enjoyment, leisure, pleasure, play is basically in the life to come. True play is in the life to come. The Nabi of Allah, when he received first revelation, he had a comfortable bedding. I won't say very, very comfortable bedding, but he had a comfortable bedding. And when he returned back, he said to Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra, "Isko lapet do. Wrap it up and put it in the corner." She said, "Why?" He said, "The days of comfort have ended for your husband. But now I have been given a mission. This mission demands an effort. And this effort does not allow me to sleep on a comfortable bed. I need to dedicate every second of my life to this mission. And the mission is that before departure, I know that I have secured the grace of Allah Almighty, the pleasure of Allah Almighty." And everyone knows where he stands. I know where I stand, you know where you stand. I can deceive you can deceive me. But everyone knows what his position is with Allah. You sit down And just talk to Allah, and Allah knows your entire life will run in front of you. It will be played in front of you. Is that the life that I want to present to my Creator? Am I satisfied with this? In return, should I receive the grace of Allah Almighty? This is the question. So we need to make that strong effort. And time is passing. A lot of people are saying that, the month of Ramadan has arrived. The last month of Ramadan is very fresh. The last month of Ramadan is very fresh. And one person last night was saying, even the food I can taste of the last Ramadan. The food that we used to eat at Sehri or Aftari, I can even remember that and can taste it. Forget about the Taraweeh and that is well remembered. But even the food. So time is passing by. So those that are under 60, consider yourself to be very fortunate. You are in prime time. You are in prime time. Yeah, aapka time. It is your time. But it will not remain with you for a long time. In no time, you will pass 60 and then sicknesses, weakness, fatigued. You can't do many things that you used to do. So the Nabi of Allah, if we study his life now, I want to make mention, I have spoken about this in my Monday programs, but I will try to present it in a quick manner. I don't want to take 1 or 2 hours on this. The Nabi of Allah, he receives the second greatest miracle, I will say, the Mi'raj. Now Allah does not bless a person without reason. There has to be a reason behind it. So if the Nabi of Allah made it into the heavens and passed that junction where no living being stood before, there has to be a reason behind it. Now what was that reason? If we could focus upon that reason, and I believe that is the lesson of this miracle. A lot of people speak about the story and they're intrigued and they are riveted and blown away. Indeed, the story will blow you away. But the main lesson is to understand the reason why he was invited. So if we can capture the reason and try to work upon that reason, we will experience our own mi'raj. You will experience our own mi'raj. Now of course we don't have the ability to experience identical mi'raj of the Nabi of Allah, because no one will experience that. But we will experience our own mi'raj. Like the Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq did not go to Sidratul Muntaha, but he received the title Siddiq. That was his mi'raj. The Sahaba, they received their mi'raj by endorsing this miracle. And they remained in the fold of Islam. Many people, they received the opposite of mi'raj. A descent, a decline. That when they denied, they received a decline. They went further into the ditch of disbelief. So the Nabi of Allah for many, many years was persecuted. Many, many years. And I would like you to go and study the seerah of the Nabi of Allah. From 3 years into prophethood to 10 years. So it's about 7 years. Because he received the second revelation after there was a pause of 3 years. After 3 years of pause, the Nabi of Allah received revelation of Surah Al-Muddathir. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, kum fa'anzir. O person that is wrapped up in a blanket, kum, stand up, fa'anzir, and warn people. This revelation was received by the Nabi of Allah after 3 years. So there was a pause of 3 years. And before receiving this revelation, he sat in Ghari Hira, in the mountain of Nur, for 1 month, like he used to do previously. For 1 month he sat in itikaf because there was a craving to experience what he experienced 3 years earlier. So after 1 month, in sitting in Ghari Hira, Jabal-e-Nur, the mountain, when he exited without receiving any revelation, He exited and he heard somebody addressing him. It was the archangel, but he couldn't see the archangel. So he looked to the right, he looked to the left, there was no one there. When he turned back, he saw Jibreel for the first time in his original form. This was the first time he saw him in his original form. Now when you see something so large in size, what happens? You catch a fever. You get scared. You start to tremble. The first time he trembled, when he received revelation 3 years prior to this, it was not a fever. He was shaken up. Well, what happened to me? Well, what was this? Who was this angel in a condensed form that told me, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq? So he was shaken. When he went down, he said to his wife, what did he say to Khadijah al-Kubra? Zammiluni, ya ayyuhal muzammil, zammiluni. Cover me with a sheet. Because he didn't have a fever. He was trembling, he was scared. What happened? So he said, cover me with a sheet. After 3 years, sitting in Ghari Hira for 1 month, when he exited, Jibreel was seen in his original form, and it was so daunting that Hazrat Muhammad ran to his house and he said to his wife, Dathiruni. Not Zambiluni, Dathiruni, cover me with a blanket. Bukhar ho gaya. Dathiruni. And that's when Allah Almighty sends the revelation after 3 years, Ya ayyuhal muddathir. O person that has covered himself with a blanket, get up now. Abni time soneka, kum, stand up, for anzir and warn the people. This is the connection. From 3 years into prophethood, to 10 years into prophethood, the Nabi of Allah and his followers were persecuted. Bahut takleefe uthai. Bahut takleefe. We read about it, but we cannot fathom it completely. We cannot. Just one person, as a Khabbab bin Arat, radiallahu ta'ala, in those days, who experienced the brunt of the cruelty of these people. One person, I'm just make mention of one story. In the time of Hazrat Umar, the tenure of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, children used to come and they used to play with the back of Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat. Children come, they play with the back. So Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat is lying and the children come and they're poking him. Now let's say one person pokes me like this. You don't see the finger disappearing. You don't see the finger disappearing. So Hazrat Umar is observing and the finger disappears. So the finger goes like this and it disappears. Where's the finger gone? So Hazrat Umar, he analyzes the back and he finds that there are holes in the back. Holes. Surah. So Hazrat Umar is blown away. He says, Oh Khabbab, what is this? He said, in those days, from 3 years into prophethood to 10 years, in those days, Muslims were persecuted. They used to get iron rods and place them in fire. Pointy iron rods, place them in fire. And then after that, they used to poke us with those iron rods that used to leave holes in our back. So this basically is a story of the brunt that was endured by me for 6 to 7 years. That's the story. This back tells the entire story. So the Nabi of Allah was not spared. The Sahaba were not spared. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, in these days, as we all know, he was going through a lot. Then the valley of Abi Talib came for 3 years, the civil boycott. Then after that, Abu Talib passes away, Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra passes away. Now the Nabi of Allah is going through all this, Jazakumullah. The Nabi of Allah is going through all this for what? To please Allah. It's the effort. It's a very intense effort. It is a very intense effort. Basically, we cannot replicate this effort. We cannot replicate this effort for deen or dunya. We don't have the ability, most probably. But after all this, he doesn't see any response from the people of Makkah. He doesn't see any response from the people of Taif. He loses his partner, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra, and he loses his uncle Abu Talib. And one night he was sleeping in the house of Umme Hani, the sister of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he says, gosh, mera bhi koi saathi hota. I wish that I had a friend. I wish I had a person that was beside me that I could share my inner sentiments with. And this statement of the Nabi of Allah, after presenting the effort, it didn't come in the early days. It came after 10 years. And physical persecution of 7 years. After 7 years, let me say, now the Nabi of Allah makes this statement. Uska haq hai, wo aisi baat kare. It is just like a wife that takes care of the husband for many years and the husband does not appreciate. The wife has the right to say, what are you doing? I have been beside you for the last 30 years and you don't appreciate my cooking. You don't appreciate my contribution. But if the wife arrives today, and it's only been, let's say, 2-3 days, and she says, you don't appreciate my cooking, kiri cooking? What cooking? You haven't done nothing. First build up. Present something. Once you present something, you have a right to say something to people and to your Creator. The question is, have we built up a package that we can present to Allah, and on that package we can say, Ya Allah, ye kyu ho raha hai? Why is this happening to me? Have we got that package? So the Nabi of Allah, in his own way, is complaining. He said, I've tried for so many years, nothing is working out. My wife has died, my uncle has died. Taif has rejected me, Makkah has rejected me. My people are being persecuted, I can't do nothing for them. I'm saying, Isbir, Isbir, make sabr. Now, Allah Almighty starts to reward him. Now he starts to reward him after all that effort. It could have happened in the 4th year. It could happen in the 5th year, but no, Allah knows. We do not know. Allah knows how much effort we have to present. What is the intensity? What is the volume? And that's why they say impatience is not a virtue. It is a weakness. And basically, how much patience? As long as it takes for the doors to open. You will know when the doors open. Ahwal badaling. Conditions will start to change. So as long as the doors are closed, we are demanded to display that sabr and that intense effort. Once the doors open, you don't have to ask imam or a mufti, you will know the doors have opened. And I'm starting to reap the benefits and the fruits of my effort. The harvest has arrived. Sometimes it arrives early and sometimes it arrives late. But it does arrive. So the Nabi of Allah then, after so many years, when he said these words and fell asleep, that was the start of the journey of Mi'raj. Where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam arrived and said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْرَأُكَ السَّلَامُ وَيَدْعُكَ. Allah has given you salam and is inviting you. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يُشْتَاقْ إِلَيْكَ. And Allah is willing to see you. So now you are asking for a friend. You have presented the package. Now be ready to receive the divine package. You gave your package. And indeed, it was a package of perfection. Now it is time to receive the package that Allah has designed in proportion to the package that you gave. So basically, we need to focus upon our package. What are we giving to our Creator? And if we give to our Creator a package that is basically weakness-free, to the best of our ability, we will receive a package in this dunya from Allah Almighty. And we have seen this in the life of so many. We have seen this in the life of so many. Now a lot of people, they don't digest stories. They say, we don't want to hear karguzaris. We don't want to hear stories. So I'm not going to give you stories. But I have come across many people in my short life that made that effort, and Allah rewarded them in this dunya. Let alone the reward that is to be experienced, enjoyed by this person in the life to come. So the verses that I recited from Surah Al-Balad, Surah number 90, and Surah Layl, Surah 92, verse number 4, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, verse number 4, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى, verse number 4, basically gives us an understanding that people make an effort, لَشَتَّى. and each effort is very diverse. We need to bring our effort that is in conformity with the effort that is demanded by our Creator to receive our personal mi'raj. Allah Almighty allow us to experience our own mi'raj in this life, and Allah Rabbul Izzat allow us to attain the highest level, Jannatul Firdaus, in the life to come. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.